This is a Triple J podcast.
G'day, it's Dave Marchese with you for Hacks Deep Dive, and it's time to look at an issue that has been bubbling away under the surface in Canberra at Parliament House for a little while now. I'm talking about lobbying in politics and why some people get access to politicians and other people don't. Yeah, there are growing calls for a crackdown on lobbyists, and there was a big Four Corners investigation into this week. It revealed dozens of political staffers have jumped from government jobs into lucrative lobbying firms. And it might not just be those who work for politicians, it could be the politicians themselves once they leave office. So how big of an issue is this?
Hack.
Lobbying is not the problem. It's just the total lack of transparency.
Dozens of former defence officials, including ministers and high-ranking officers, have jumped from their government roles into lucrative lobbying firms or into the private defence sector.
The Parliamentary Sports Club turned out to be a registered lobbying firm.
He's forever setting up shop in the break rooms, which are meant to be for staff to actually go and have a lunch break.
I'm perfectly comfortable if ministers want to release their diaries.
Well, I don't want people to think that lobbyists are like nocturnal creatures who only come out in the dark and don't want anyone to notice them.
On Triple J.
You might remember last week on Hack, I asked Kai Cantwell, who works for a group that represents the gambling industry, about his former job in the office of a former minister responsible for managing gambling harm. Can you see why this relationship between those in politics and those in your industry might not sit right with some people?
Well, look, I understand the concern, and perhaps it's useful for me to unpack the fact that I am a social policy expert of 15-plus years. I wasn't a political staffer. I was more a bureaucrat-turned political staffer.
You were a chief of staff, though.
Absolutely, but I guess understanding my background in social policy is important.
Like, did you know that inside Parliament House, lobbyists can actually outnumber the politicians? So how much power do they really have, and does there need to be more transparency? Well, someone who knows a lot about this is Dr. Jennifer Lacey-Nichols from the University of Melbourne. Her work looks into how corporations influence politics. Jen, thank you so much for joining us on Hack.
Such a pleasure to be here.
I know you've been doing a lot of work in this area, and we'll get into some of the research you've done recently soon, but I want to hear more about lobbyists generally. For people who don't know, what are they and are there different types?
A lobbyist is essentially someone who tries to influence government decision making. And in Australia, Four Corners put it really well the other night. We've got three different types. We've got a third party lobbyist. So this might be someone who works for a professional lobby firm. They might have lots of different clients, and then they go and speak on behalf of those clients with members of government. We've got another type. Those are going to be in-house lobbyists. So if you're a government relations person, you work for a company, you go and meet with people in government, you know, on behalf of your own company. That's an in-house lobbyist. And then you can also think about industry associations. So those would be groups that might represent lots of different companies, and they will also go and make representations to government.
Okay, so you might be either a person who is employed to act as like a go-between to sort out access, or you might be working for the particular industry who's trying to get access. How does lobbying work in Australia? Like, what does it look like? Is it just meetings in ministers' offices?
I mean, I guess the short answer is we have terrible transparency, so I can't really tell you what goes on. But I mean, lobbying can happen in so many different ways. It can be a meeting with a minister. It can be a meeting with one of their staffers, the chief of staff, an advisor. It might be meeting with someone who's in one of the departments, perhaps, if you want to have influence in, you know, more of a sort of a regulatory space. But you might also be building these connections in other contexts. You might be attending, you know, fundraising dinners. You might be meeting and just walking informally in the halls of parliament. You might be in a cafe. Any scenario where you are trying to make a representation and influence someone in government or advise them, that would be conceptualized as lobbying.
So is it clear who is a lobbyist and who's not? Like, are they registered?
Well, we have a lobbyist register in Australia, but unfortunately, the definition of lobbyist only covers that first category I told you about, the third-party lobbyists, and that's probably only 20% of the lobbyists.
Wow. Okay. So what you're saying is that there could be a whole bunch of people in Parliament House and other places where politicians are, and they're not technically registered as a lobbyist, but they effectively are.
It's not even that they're not technically registered. I mean, they are not registered. I have reviewed all of these state and federal registers in Australia, and they are absent from them.
So how do these people get into Parliament and into these spaces where politicians are?
I mean, an issue that has been very much on the public agenda this year are the orange passes. And so this is the pass that you can have, get someone, a member of parliament to sponsor for you. And it basically gives you unescorted access. So I've been to Parliament House before, but someone had to come in, they had to sign me in, they had to take me to my meeting, and then I had to get escorted back out when I was gone. But if I had an orange pass, I could just essentially walk around and have all kinds of probably very useful, opportune meetings.
Who traditionally becomes a lobbyist? Like, is it former politicians and former staffers who generally make their way into this kind of work?
It's a bit of a mix. Certainly when we looked at the full federal lobbyist register, a lot of them did have government experience, but there's a fair number of people who perhaps have more technical expertise about a particular industry or area. So, lobbying isn't only about your political connections and your relationships in government. A lot of lobbying is quite legitimate information exchange. But this is why it's quite important to have those safeguards so that, legitimate lobbying can continue and so that we, have more trust.
There is a code of conduct around lobbying, though, isn't there?
Yes.
How does that work?
The Lobbying Code of Conduct sets out, I guess, all the different definitions. So that's where it spells out that in Australia, when we say lobbyist, we mean third-party lobbyist. It also sets out provisions around what's called a cooling-off period. So if I am a minister or one of their staffers or, part of the senior executive service, and I leave government, then I'm not allowed to work as a lobbyist for either 12 or 18 months. And this is good. However, it only applies to the third-party lobbyist roles. So I could be a minister and I could go straight into an in-house government relations position. And there's no rule to stop me. It would be totally allowed.
Okay, interesting. This is Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. I'm joined by Dr. Jennifer Lacey Nichols from the University of Melbourne, and we're talking about lobbying and politics. A lot of questions and comments coming through. Someone says, so much for the people, by the people. Politicians seem to forget who pays their salaries. Another person saying, where do unions fit in? Are they considered lobbyists? Yeah, well, I guess it's anyone. Could be trade unions, could be corporations, charities, industry groups, anyone who's able to get these sponsored passes. Another person saying maybe these lobbyists don't want people knowing how they get that access, so it's harder to stop them. I mean, Jen, some of the research you've been involved in has found more than half of the big companies in Australia were not listed as clients on the federal lobbying register. Does that mean, in your opinion, those companies are not lobbying?
I think that would be an extremely unlikely scenario. There may be some companies that don't lobby, but I think the far more likely scenario is that they're all in-house lobbyists and they are just ignored by the registration system.
How big of an issue is this in terms of transparency, do you think, in Australian politics?
I was literally just at Transparency International Australia's meeting, and they were talking about how our corruption perception has been declining in Australia. And so I think there's a lot of work that shows we are losing trust in our government, and that is not a good thing. And I think a great deal of lobbying and a great deal of sort of minister and parliamentarian meetings are completely legitimate. But when it happens in secrecy, it really can erode trust. And I think that's very risky.
So what kind of changes do you think could be made to make the boundaries a bit clearer?
I think a straightforward shift could be to change our definition of lobbying so that it focuses on the activity. If you as an individual or organization engage in trying to influence government, then we would consider you to be a lobbyist. There's other important transparency things that could be tacked on to this. It would be terrific to have, a lobbyist contact log or a ministerial diary, a record of meetings that says who you met with, when you met with them, and what you talked about. And we also need much better implementation and enforcement of this.
Interesting stuff. Well, look, thank you so much for coming in and having a chat with us about this. Dr. Jennifer Lacey-Nichols from the University of Melbourne, really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
And still a lot of thoughts coming through. Someone saying lobbying should be more heavily regulated. I feel that's one of the reasons both sides of politics don't seem to put public interests first, is that person's thoughts. Another person says it feels really despicable, undermining our very democracy. One of the people who talks really loud on this issue is someone you might know as Punters Politics, Conrad Benjamin. I'm keen to get his take because he's had a bit to say and was actually in this Four Corners. Conrad, thank you so much for jumping on.
Hunter, Dave, it's great to be on Hack.
You were interviewed as part of this Four Corners investigation. Was there anything in there that surprised you as someone who's been focused on this for a while now?
As cynical as I am about the connections that I call dodgy connections between politicians and lobbyists, I was even shocked. I wasn't cynical enough. Like, what the thing that shocked me the most was the former Major General Jeremy King, who buys 40 Black Hawk helicopters from Lockheed Martin for $2.8 billion, then quits his job 1 week later, oh my goodness, becomes the CEO of Lockheed Martin.
Well, look, I should say that Lockheed Martin provided a statement to Four Corners, said it's instituted rigorous conflict of interest safeguards, followed all conflict of interest and integrity principles and processes. I mean, Conrad, there's definitely been a big reaction to this story. I know you have been talking about lobbyists for a while, and I'm wondering, is that because you know that there is a lot of appetite for this amongst your audience? Like, people want to know more about this.
Yes, I believe this to be the unifying factor and the engine behind all of Punters Politics engagement. This is the stuff I focus on. A lot of politics is centered around what surface level culture war can we disagree on, while machines like this just continue, politicians continue as business as usual, and things just keep slipping, cost of living keeps slipping. You go to the comment, you'll see the word they use, not my word. Oh no, don't sue me.
I mean, last year we spoke to you when you put on this political fundraiser dinner in Parliament. It was a bit of a piss take, but also it was an actual fundraiser to raise money for your own lobbyist. Has much happened since then?
In the realm of me getting a lobbyist, I've since employed a lobbyist, hoping to play the game. You know, I'm not above using my enemy's tools against them. I'll need to raise a little bit more money next time to maybe buy an ex-politician, someone who's leaving politics, to come and work for me. But, you know, I'm bringing a water gun to a gunfight in what you saw in the Four Corners documentary. Like, the gambling lobby alone, 80% of punters want gambling ads to be banned. And it's really popular and it won't hurt Albanese at all. It's a slam dunk. His own government made the report. But for some reason, after a lot of donations from the gambling lobby and a lot of secret meetings that we don't really hear about, for some reason, the government, you know, can't do it, can't find the courage to do it.
There might be someone listening to this thinking, okay, look, anyone can lobby governments and have their views represented, and that could include NGOs, charitable organisations. Surely it's a good thing to have politicians exposed to as many views as possible. What would you say to that?
I'd say when your access is determined by how much money you have and how much you can afford an ex-politician to come and join your team, and then that has a disproportionate impact on the rules that are passed, I think it stops being lobbying and starts being pay for access. We believe we all should have equal access. But what I've found and what punters can openly see, when you can pay $10,000 to go to a meeting at a mansion with a billionaire and the prime minister, you can't do that. NGOs often can't do that. But I tell you who bloody can: gas cartels, gambling corporations, and weapons lobbyists. They're the ones in those secret mansion meetings. Albo was just photographed or whatever in WA, raising money at some secret mansion somewhere. We don't know who he was eating with. We don't know what he was doing. But we do know what happens when he won't pass a gas tax and he won't ban gambling ads. We're just piecing these things together.
Have you got any hope things are going to change? Like, there's obviously a lot more attention on this issue, not only this week, but just broadly, generally. Do you think that we could see some reforms here?
I think what we're seeing with the two major parties losing a lot of votes and their vote share, I think Aussie punters are sick of what we see as the duopoly. Both parties are the same. And yeah, there are some minor differences. But when it comes to the core structure of our democracy that we would call corrupt, that we think has a problem, that we think doesn't serve us, we're all united on fixing this democracy so it can be better. And the major established politicians are united on making sure the gravy train express to their future lobbying job remains undisturbed. And I think Aussies are sick of it. And we've seen the Liberal Party's vote tank because they refused to reform on this stuff. Now I think we're seeing the Labor Party lose some popularity. And I think it all comes back to, we don't trust you. Politicians know we're losing more and more trust. We're losing faith in democracy. And I'll tell you whose fault it is. It's the government's fault right now, because we are seeing this system before our eyes not work for us. We are seeing them sell us out.
Look, no one can ever question your enthusiasm or your passion. Conrad Benjamin from Punters Politics, really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me, Punter Dave.
Oh, and still some messages coming through. Rhea on the Gold Coast saying, as the disparity of wealth increases, I feel like there needs to be complete transparency around lobbying. Someone else just saying, look, it's all a big club and the general public is not in it. Yeah, some big opinions on lobbyists and exactly who has access to politicians and Parliament House and who doesn't. It was really interesting to hear from Punter's Politics there, because this has been an issue he's been talking about for a while, but it's also clear that so many of you want some action on this, or at least want a bit more transparency, a bit more detail. So we'll definitely keep you across any big developments in this space. Remember, please subscribe to this podcast. If you like these deep dives, we bring them to you every Saturday morning. We also bring you our long interviews every Thursday. They drop. And of course, our radio show drops every weekday as well. You can also go follow us on social media at Triple J Hack on Instagram and TikTok. That's all for now. I'll catch you next time. Hack.